just thank you for just all your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for all of your love, for everything that you are doing for each and every one of us. And Lord, as we go into this teaching on today, I thank you that you are already with us. I ask that you open the ears of every person that is hearing, oh God, open their hearts, oh God. Open my ears and my heart, oh God. Use my voice, oh God, in a way, oh God, that will bring about transformation, that will bring about life. And so, Lord, I just thank you because you are so good and so wonderful and mighty. And we thank you for all the praise reports that have gone forth before I'm even speaking, oh God, because as we hear the praise reports of others, oh God, we know that you are not a respecter of persons, and what you do for one, you will do for all. So I just praise you. I celebrate, oh God, everything that you're doing for every person that's connected to our community. And so, Lord, just have your way, oh God. Let this word just touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to read a lot just because I want to make sure we can kind of like get through everything in a decent time frame. So I'll give you all of the scriptures and then we'll kind of go from there. So in terms of the scriptures, the series scripture, I think this will kind of cover a little bit of everything that folks will be teaching on over the next 14 weeks. But it is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And if y'all don't know, I'm the kind of teacher where, well, all of us these days, we're the teachers where you should have your notebook, you should have a piece of paper, a pen, you know, something, so that way you can kind of take down a few nuggets, because, you know, you don't always hear the, you know, preacher sounds, the humming and hawing and everything with us. But sometimes you will get that from Pastor, get that from Minister David. Rare that you will get it from me. So the series scripture will be 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. My key scriptures for the gifts that I'm going to be speaking about today, we will focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Also Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3, James 1 and 5, and Ephesians 4 and 15. So just kind of four key scriptures for today. But there's a lot of reference that I wish I could read because I love it so much, but I'm just going to give you the passages that are connected to different things that I'll be teaching on today. So that will be Acts chapter 6. Verses 8 through 10. Additionally, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. And then all of 1 Kings chapter 3. So I won't be reading the background reference. It'll just give you context if you want to study on your own. I will be speaking to certain scriptures within those chapters. And so with that, we'll get started. So we just ended our series on the seven places where Jesus shed his blood. And through that series, we walked through powerful teachings that reminded us Jesus didn't just die for our salvation. He gave his life for the total restoration of our minds, our decisions, our wounds, our inheritances, our authority, and our calling. And this just wasn't a good series. I mean, it was powerful, but it was an unveiling. It was a reminder of what has already been given to us through Christ. And now we pick up from that place of restoration and we move into the next step, which is activation. The gifts of the Spirit are part of that inheritance. They are how we participate in bringing heaven to earth, not as perfect people, but as practicing people. People who are learning, growing, and giving of ourselves in love so that others can experience the freedom, healing, and breakthrough that Jesus made possible. And so if you go turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 4 through 11. I'm going to read it out of the New International Version, but you can read it in whatever version you have. You can also look at it on your phone if you don't have a physical Bible. But we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. So out of the NIV, it says, There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So today, we begin a new journey. Many gifts, one body, discovering your role in God's plan. This will be a 14-week exploration of the unique ways the Holy Spirit empowers each of us to reflect God's presence in the world. Many of us have heard about or studied spiritual gifts before, but this series is an opportunity to go deeper, to become more aware, more connected, and more activated in our giftings. God placed something in us before we were ever born. And over the next 14 weeks, we're going to discover it, own it, and use it for the good of others and the glory of God. We're not just going to learn what our gifts are. We're going to discover why they matter, how they fit into the larger purpose of God's work in the world, and how we come together as one body to carry that work forward. And as we move through the series, I pray that this truth becomes alive in all of us. The body of Christ not only functions in its, it, well, the body of Christ only functions in its fullness when every part is activated. So it takes all of us together to really bring about the fullness of the body of Christ when we are operating in our gifts. So this is not just about the preacher, not just about the singer, but it's about the planner, the encourager, the dreamer, the intercessor, the innovator, the advocate, the artist, the quiet listener, the organizer, the peacemaker. There are many gifts. There's one Spirit and one body. So each of us is a living expression of God's creativity and purpose. And through this series, we're asking a sacred question. What happens when every part of the body, when every member of the Free Spirit family, when each of us says yes to our divine assignment? I believe this is a very timely teaching for us to embark upon. When we look around, it's clear. The world is chaotic. I mean, we see that every single day there is something new that is coming up. We are realizing that systems are broken, that people, even followers of Christ, they're isolated, they're overwhelmed and confused. And God is calling for people to step up, to be a light, to bring answers, to rise up, not with titles or fame, but with love, wisdom, courage, and power. And He's calling you, He's calling me. He's calling all of us together, and now is the time for us to awaken to His call, to discover the gift in us, and to learn how to give it away so that our families, our community, and our world can be healed and transformed. Today, we are laying the foundation for this series and starting with the first two of the gifts that we'll explore over the next 14 weeks. So we're going to start with the obvious question. What are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are grace-filled abilities empowered by the Holy Spirit that help us serve others and build up the body of Christ. They're not just natural talents, though they often align with how we're wired. They are spirit-directed expressions of God's presence moving through us to heal, to guide, to encourage, and restore. These gifts come in many forms, some visible and some quiet. But all are vital, and every believer has them. Whether we're aware of them or not, we are gifted. And I think it's important for us to see that in this series, we're going to be talking about all kinds of gifts, not just the ones that you see all the time in the scripture, but the ones that are kind of quietly alluded to in the scripture. And it's always, you know, important for us to recognize that it's not just about extroverted people, you know, the folks that we see on TV. And that's not just the gifts. That's not the whole of what God means for, you know, spiritual gifts. And so we want to understand that there are some gifts that are performed quietly. Everything's not loud and out in the open. And we want to honor that. We want to honor everything, because all of us have gifts and all of them are different in some ways. And so if we walk around just always saying that, oh, it has to be exercised like this, or it has to look like that, then there's a whole bunch of people who will feel left out, like that spiritual gifts are not for them. And so our series is going to really show how all of us have gifts of all types, you know, that we can use both in the church and outside of the church. And so before we go any further, I really want to make something clear. Operating in our spiritual gifts is not about perfection or performance. It's not about getting everything right all the time. It's about moving faithfully in what God has placed inside of us. It's about practicing, experimenting, praying, failing, trying again. It's about making space for the Holy Spirit to move in our real everyday lives, not just in the church, but in our families, on our jobs, in our communities, and in those quiet, unseen places where we are wrestling and when we are trying to like grow in trust. We need to understand that this is a heart journey. And I want us to be free, free to grow, free to stretch, and free to practice what God is calling us into. Because it's so easy to get caught up in performance. It's easy to feel like we have to get it right or prove something, but God didn't give us these gifts so we could burn out trying to be good Christians. He gave them to us to draw our hearts into alignment with His. He's not asking us to be perfect. He's asking us to be available, to offer ourselves flawed, willing, and open as vessels for something eternal. And so with that freedom in mind, the freedom to grow, to try, to trust, let's begin exploring the gifts themselves. We're starting with what's known as the gifts of revelation and wisdom. If I had a title for today's message, it would be Gifted for This: Discovering God's Wisdom and Knowledge Within You. The gifts of revelation and wisdom are divine understanding. They're spirit-given insight that help us see what with God's perspective, not just our own. They help us navigate life, relationships, and decisions with clarity and compassion. And so today we're going to focus on the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom isn't just intelligence or experience. It's spirit-breathed insight, wisdom that goes beyond what we can see or reason through. It brings clarity for decisions, strategy, or counsel in the moment. And if you think back to 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, Paul says, to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom. We see this gift clearly in scripture, especially through two Bible characters, Stephen and Solomon. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he stood before his accusers in Acts 6 and 10. And the scripture says, they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. He didn't win the argument that he was in, and he didn't start the argument, by the way. He didn't win the argument because he had a sharp tongue or a perfect defense. He spoke with a wisdom that only comes from being aligned with God in that moment. And that's what the word of wisdom does. It gives you what you need when you need it to speak truth and bring clarity with grace. Solomon is another powerful example. We know him as the wisest man, I believe, in the Bible. And if you go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when God appeared to Solomon in a dream, he told him to ask for whatever he wanted. And Solomon, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for victory. He didn't ask for power. He asked for wisdom. In 1 Kings 3 and 9, he prayed, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. That prayer reveals the heart of this gift, a spirit-led ability to see clearly and make wise, just decisions. And right after Solomon was granted this wisdom, we see that wisdom tested, and still all in 1 Corinthians 3, is two moms that come before him, and they both were claiming to be the mother of the same child. There were no witnesses, there was no clear evidence. just a heartbreaking situation and two desperate women. And if you don't remember, it was like, well, both women had a baby, one baby died, and there was one baby left. And so the woman of the mother of the baby who died was trying to say, oh no, the baby that's still alive is my baby. And so it was like a lot of drama. If you don't like get into the word, you can get in there. There's a lot of drama in there. It's kind of interesting. But you know, even with all of this back and forth, you can imagine them being before Solomon, like, no, that's my baby. No, that's my baby. No, that's my baby. And Solomon's probably like, calm down and be quiet, you know. But Solomon, he responded with calm. He responded with spirit-given insight that revealed the truth. He wasn't relying on clever tactics. He was leaning on wisdom that came from above. The gift isn't flashy. Oh, and then if you, and I'll just tell it because, you know, he what he said in terms of resolving the matter, he was like, okay, well, just cut the baby in half and each one of you will get half of the baby. And sure enough, the woman whose baby died was like, sure, that works for me, you know, because she didn't care. But the actual mother of the child, she said, no, just give the baby to her because it was her baby. She wanted the baby to live. And so at that point, Solomon was like, okay, that's the mom right there. And so they gave the baby to the actual mom. I mean, who would have come up with that? Us in our own wisdom, we probably wouldn't came up with a solution like that. But it was the wisdom of God. It was this gift of wisdom that gave him insight into how to resolve a very challenging situation. So this gift, it isn't flashy. It doesn't always shout. Sometimes it shows up in quiet confidence, in the ability to resolve conflict, to lead well under pressure, or to offer the right word at just the right time. We often think spiritual gifts are loud or dramatic, but more often they come through stillness and discernment. Solomon's story reminds us wisdom is a gift we can ask for, and God delights to give it. We all know, many of us anyway, know James 1 and 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. It will be given to him. It says, it will be given to us freely. We won't be like condemned or anything because of it. God's happy to give us wisdom. So this gift isn't about being the smartest person in the room. It's about being available, open to the Spirit's leading, ready to listen, ready to speak, ready to follow God's direction when it comes. The gift of the word of knowledge, that's the second one. It is a close companion to wisdom, but it's distinct. While the word of wisdom offers divine strategy, insight, and direction, the word of knowledge reveals truth. Truth that could not have been known naturally. And this is when the Holy Spirit gives you awareness of something hidden, something spiritual, something specific that brings clarity, healing, or conviction. And also in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, it says, to one is given the word of wisdom, but to the other, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. This gift is not about guessing, it's not about reading between the lines or making assumptions. Is spirit-revealed insight, and when it shows up, it often changes everything. So if we look at Acts chapter 5, again, I'm not going to read the whole thing in the interest of time, but in that Peter confronts Ananias and Sapphira when they lie about their offering to the church. And no one told Peter, you know, what had been done. There were no side conversations, there were no hidden clues. The Spirit revealed what was concealed, and Peter named it. He told them, "Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit?" I mean, in the whole scheme of things, this is Dominica's paraphrase. Y'all know I like to do this. In the whole scheme of things, it was your money. It was your offering. You did not have to give it. Nobody made you give it. So the fact that you lied about what you gave, like that's an offense to the Holy Spirit. And so Peter called him out on it. And if you remember in that story, they died immediately, both of them, because they both lied. And so Peter named it. He wasn't trying to be harsh. He wasn't trying to be controlling. He wanted to protect the integrity of what God was building in the early church. And so after all of this happened in Acts 5 and 11, it says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. It shows that God is not a God to be played with. You know, he takes it seriously because he calls us to do things out of our own heart. So we don't have to hide things because he always know. And if you try to hide, God is like, I already know everything. And so when, you know, you're being like that, he will bring about conviction. He will bring about punishment in different ways. And we don't want that. And so everybody in the church, you know, they were afraid because of this situation. And why? It's because it became clear that God sees all. And sometimes through this gift, through the gift of knowledge, he allows others to see what needs to be seen for alignment, for correction, and restoration. God's whole desire is just to bring everything, you know, into a place of wholeness, into a place of growth. You can't have wholeness, you can't have growth when there are, you know, aspects of evil and aspects of sin that are at work, you know, pretty much the enemy at work. And but it's important to know that it's not always about correction. So the word of knowledge is not all about bringing correction. Sometimes it's really about liberation. And if we look at John chapter 4, Jesus was at the well with the woman who had all the husbands, you know, but he sits with the woman. Someone society had written off, and he tells her her own story. He said, "You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband." He wasn't being harsh. He was being honest. He wasn't exposing her to shame. You know, he wasn't trying to shame her. He was freeing her to be seen. And what does she do? She runs into town. She runs into the very place where she had been judged, where she had been avoided, and she says, "Come see a man who told me everything I did." John, and that came from John chapter 4 and 39. I love that scripture. It was like he didn't really tell her everything she did, but she went in and she was so moved by the word of knowledge that came to her in that experience. She said, "He told me everything." She went back and told everybody what he said. And that's the power of the word of knowledge. It can cut through shame, confusion, fear, and performance. And bring someone into truth and freedom. So, in practice, because we always want to bring this back home to our everyday life, the work of the kingdom isn't just about how the gifts of wisdom and knowledge show up in the church. It's also about how they're lived out in everyday life. And on some level, it's probably how they're used outside of the church that has even greater potential for touching lives. Because sometimes we get so focused about doing everything in the church that we forget that there's a whole world out there that needs God, that needs more of God even. And so if we try to keep everything just inside the church, how are the people in the world going to ever see the light and the truth of God? So that's something that we have to kind of hold on to as we go throughout this entire series. In the church, you might be serving on a leadership team or prayer ministry. You might be offering wisdom during Bible study. You might be listening to someone in crisis and gently helping them discern their next step. But in your everyday life, when you're operating in these gifts, you might be the friend people call for advice, not realizing that you're operating in a spiritual gift. You might be the one who senses when something deeper is going on and speaks a word that brings peace. You might be the calm voice of clarity in your workplace when everything around you feels chaotic or unclear. These gifts, they often show up in moments that seem small. When you feel something about a situation and later is confirmed, when you speak truth that cuts through years of confusion or pain, when you help someone name a root issue, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or relational, that they couldn't put into words. And so it might come as a prompting. It could be a burden, a sentence that just won't leave you, a truth you speak, and afterward you wonder, where did that come from? You may not have called it a gift. You may have just thought, that's just how I'm wired. But don't underestimate what God is doing through you. See Him at work in what we might consider the little things, because there's no such thing as little when it comes to what the Spirit does through a willing heart. And if you think back to how I started in my testimony, you'll see that maybe in the night, you know, or early the Saturday morning when I woke up, maybe I was operating in one of these gifts because I just had this feeling like I need to go ahead and like do my research right now because what if the lights go out? I didn't know the lights were going to go out, but they did. And because of that little bit of knowledge, I was able to get myself organized so that I can deliver this message that I'm delivering today. It's important. So you have to think about those little things. And I hope that even as I'm speaking, you're thinking back to maybe some of the situations that you've had in your life that might be connected to this gift and you just didn't know it. And I think all of us, when we're in the spirit, we have a little bit of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge that comes to us. But Colossians 2 and 3, it says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And here's the beautiful part. He shares those treasures with us, not just for our benefit, but so we can be a blessing to others. These gifts were never meant to be boxed into Sunday morning or Wednesday or just any church service. They were made for life. Now, when we begin to recognize these everyday moments as evidence of spiritual gifting, it's both exciting and it's humbling. But with that awareness comes a responsibility, because how we carry the gift, it really matters just as much as how we use it. The gifts of wisdom and knowledge, they can bring light, they can bring healing and clarity. But if we're not careful, they can also cause confusion and harm when used from the wrong place in us. So before we go into any further, I want to offer a loving reminder. These are not tools for ego or emotional release. They are not shortcuts for controlling. We are not here to be controlling other people with these gifts. They are gifts of the spirit, and they are meant to be used in the spirit with love, humility, and maturity. Because these are often speaking gifts, let us always remember Ephesians 4 and 15, which admonishes us to speak the truth in love. And that means we don't use these gifts as weapons. We don't declare, thus said the Lord. Sometimes people in the church, they're good about saying, the Lord says. And it's really just our opinion wrapped in spiritual language. We don't speak just because we feel something. We speak as we're led with a heart to build up and not tear down. So at any point in time, if what we're doing as we're operating in spiritual gifts is tearing people down and not building them up, we got to question ourselves. We are probably not operating in a spiritual gift at that point. And if we find ourselves needing to be heard more than we need to be helpful, it may be time to pause and check our own hearts. This isn't about silencing anyone. It's about honoring the responsibility, because there is a great responsibility that comes with the exercise of this gift and all spiritual gifts. And so let me say this: we don't chase the gift for the sake of the gift. We don't seek power or recognition. We seek God. We pursue intimacy with Him, and the gifts flow from that relationship. It is all about our relationship with God. It can feel so exciting to operate in the supernatural. It can feel good to know you've helped someone. But always remember, it's not you alone. It's God working through you. We are not the source. We are just the vessels. And that's where the beauty lies. These gifts may come from the spirit, but they're carried by everyday people, people like you and me. They are supernatural, yes, but they flow through our natural lives. They are God's super working through our natural. And that's something that I always want us to remember, because sometimes in the Christian church, you can get to thinking that that it's not that it's like it's all God or it's all us. You can only have one or the other. But what this is saying is that no, we do have a place in this. We do have work that must be done, but we always have to recognize that it's being done because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just us. So we do matter in this situation. And so that means we don't wait around doing nothing, and we don't take credit when something powerful happens. God moves through our words, our presence, our courage, our learning. But it's still God who causes the fruit to grow. We are not powerless, but we are not the power. We are partners. And it's so important for us to always remember that we are partners with God in this work. So we bring our full selves, we bring our voice, our preparation, we bring our yes, and we trust that God will do what only He can do. The fruit doesn't come from striving, it comes from abiding, it comes from relationship. And the more we surrender to that, the more freely and peacefully the Spirit can move through us. And still, even with that reminder, many of us carry questions, questions about our capacity and ability, questions about our worth, questions about whether this kind of gifting could really include us. And as we reflect, maybe something inside of us is still hesitating. Maybe we're thinking, that sounds like something only pastors can do. And I don't know if I can hear from God like that. Or some of us are just saying, listen, I'm just trying to make it through today. If that's where we are, we're not alone. So many of us have felt that way. And if we're honest, some days we still do, but here's the truth. These gifts aren't just for church leaders. They're not about being the loudest voice in the room or the one who always knows what to say. They're not just for the ones who always seem confident or put together. They're for everyday people, people just like us. God doesn't give spiritual gifts based on status. He gives them based on love and willingness. The Holy Spirit, He is so generous, and He delights in pouring out gifts on all of us who desire to walk in alignment with His will. So if we've ever thought, I'm not qualified, let's pause and remember, that's not what God says about us. Each day, as we yield to Him one quiet yes at a time, we are being equipped quietly, intentionally, faithfully for the work of the kingdom, and that is breakthrough. So, whether you've never thought about your spiritual gifts before or you've been walking in them for years, the next step is for all of us. It's an opportunity to pause, to reconnect, and maybe even rediscover something new about the way God is working in our lives. Even with the examples and teachings we've already explored, you may still wonder, how can I know if I'm operating in one of these two gifts? How will I know if something I hear in this series really applies to me? So, to help us all, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I created a spiritual gifts assessment that is tailored specifically to this teaching series. And in this, when I send it to you, you'll respond to 28 simple statements, ranking how well they reflect or don't reflect your experience. After completing the assessment, you'll total your responses for each category, or if I'm able to do it the way that I'm hoping, the calculations will already be done for you. And based on your results, you'll be able to see what could be your top three gifts and begin reflecting, learning, and practicing the gifts as the Spirit leads. This tool is not a test of your worth or spiritual maturity. It's also not a definitive statement of your gifts. It's a mirror. It's an opportunity to see more clearly what God may have already placed within you, and to begin prayerfully examining your life and experiences to see if this is indeed a gift that you should explore and open your heart more to allowing God to teach you in the exercise of the gift. And so when I send it out, I'm hoping to have it blasted out to everybody tomorrow, I encourage you to take the assessment early. As we go through the series, having some insight into your gift areas will help you listen more attentively. You'll begin to connect the dots between scripture, teaching, and your everyday life. And you might just discover that what you've always thought was just your personality is actually a divine deposit meant to bless others. Each week, we'll highlight both well-known and often overlooked gifts, gifts that don't always get named from the pulpit, but are deeply biblical and deeply needed in the church and the world. And this will give all of us a deeper understanding of the various gifts and explore all the ways that God works through his people. So, as we reflect on our gifts and where God may be calling us, I want to make space for something equally important for us. We are a small but a mighty church family, something we don't always talk about when it comes to gifting and service. Rest is a part of our spiritual gifting, too. We carry big dreams. We believe in making an impact. We want to reach people, build community, bring healing, and spark change. And all of that is good. All of that is holy. But we were never meant to do it all at once. And we were never meant to do it alone. So even Jesus withdrew to quiet places. And even God rested on the seventh day. Rest isn't weakness, it's wisdom. It's part of the rhythm of spiritual life. And the power of our gifts doesn't increase by running ourselves ragged. It grows as we stay connected to the source. When we move out of a place of rest, we lead with clarity instead of chaos. We speak with wisdom instead of weariness. We serve with joy instead of striving. And especially in a smaller church, it's easy to think, if I don't do it, it won't get done. But the truth is, God brings the increase. We plant, we water, we love, we serve, but we also rest. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes it's not about doing more. It's about doing what God is actually asking with love and with trust, and trusting that that is enough. This series is about activating our gifts, but it's also about being set free from the burden of overdoing, because the weight of the kingdom doesn't rest on our shoulder, it rests on God's. So let's move faithfully, let's serve joyfully, but let's also rest intentionally, knowing that God multiplies what we offer in love. And so if you've been thinking, maybe that's me, if something in today's message stirred your heart, don't brush it off. Don't underestimate what God is doing through you. Our gifts grow as we walk. They develop as we lean in. They sharpen as we trust God with the little and the ordinary. So this week, I invite you to, number one, take the spiritual gifts assessment. Don't wait. Reflect honestly. Pray as you go. Let it open your eyes to what God may already be doing in you. And number two, I ask you to ask God to stir up the gifts within you. You don't have to force anything. Just open your heart. Ask him to awaken what's been dormant and confirm what's been stirring in your heart. Number three, I ask you to engage each week with expectation. Don't just listen for inspiration. Listen for activation. Ask, is this my gift? Do I know someone this applies to? And how might God want to use me in this way? And number four, I want you to begin practicing. Look for small everyday moments to speak life, to offer wisdom, or to simply pay attention. You don't need a microphone or title to walk in power. This journey isn't just about knowing your gift. It's about trusting the one who gave it and stepping forward in love. And so I want to end with this encouragement. The body of Christ is not complete without you. Your wisdom, your insight, your presence, your gift. The journey we're embarking on isn't just about discovering gifts. It's about discovering you. Not the version of you that's trying to get it all right. Not the version of you that's been sitting quietly in the background, but the real you. The one God already sees. The one he delights in. The one he's been preparing in quiet ways for a purpose greater than you know. So let these teachings awaken something in you. Let it challenge you. Let it comfort you. Let it remind you. You were never meant to be a spectator in the body of Christ. None of us were. We were meant to be movers and shakers and activators. We were made for this. Not because we've done everything right, not because we have all the answers, not because of any other thing, but because we are willing, because our heart is open, because God has placed something in us that the world needs. And now is the time to uncover it, to nurture it, and release it in love. So walk in your gift, practice it with grace, trust the process, and rest in the one who has called you, who has called each and every one of us, because the Spirit is moving and you, my dear family, are part of what he's doing. And so with that, I pray that you have taken something away from this message. I went as fast as I could to cover everything, but you know, we are going to you know, just say a quick prayer, and then of course we're gonna take communion. And so if you just bow your heads for just a moment, Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you for how you're calling each and every one of us for such a time as this. You're calling us to walk in our gifts. And God, many of us may not know what our gifts are. Many of us may think maybe, you know, we're too old, or we don't, you know, have the right education, or there's all kinds of things that could be in our mind that are making us think that, you know, that we can't do this. But God, I pray that you would touch each and every one of us by your Spirit, and just help us to know that we can, that help us to know that you are calling us right now, this very moment. And some of us are walking in the gift of wisdom, and some of us are walking in the gift of knowledge. And if we're not walking in those areas, if that's not our gift, and we thank you that there's a gifting that you have for us that you've already called us to. And so Lord, just help us to stand up and accept, to say yes to what you're calling us to today. Father, I just thank you, and I give you all the praise and the glory and honor, oh God. I just ask that your Spirit would spark a fire in us, oh God. Spark a desire, oh God, like we've never felt before, to walk wholeheartedly in you, to not just be spectators, but to be movers and shakers in this world, oh God, because that's what you called us to. Let us see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are your partners. You've called us friends. We are your family. And I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.